lot going on. I feel like, Dana and Kim, this might be your fault. Because it seems like every time you're here, we can't stick to our schedule. It's just for you. And I don't know what is going on with the Storkmans sitting on the wrong side of the church. Oh, Dana, that's Dana and Kim's fault too. There you go. Well. All right. I don't have time to preach this whole message, so I'm going to go fast. Are you guys ready? Okay. So turn your Bibles to Matthew. We're going to jump around a little bit, but a while back I preached a message out of Matthew 7 about the wise man that builds his house on the rock. And you remember why the wise man builds his house on the rock? That's right, because storms are coming. And we talked about this difference between living by faith and speaking to the storms, and we talked about also building in faith and expectancy that storms are just part of life, and that so we need a foundation so our house, so to speak, can withstand the storms. And what's that? Do you want to preach? No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Oh. That's Annie's fault, by the way. I love you, Brian. All right. So we're going to look at storms. We're going to talk about storms a little bit. And Matthew 14, like I said, I'm going to go kind of fast. You guys, if you don't know the story, read the story. It's a great story. I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit, but 14:22. It's a story where Jesus walks on water. Is basically what the story is, and he's walking on the water, and he encounters all the disciples that are on the boat. He's walking by the disciples, and Peter says, "If it's you, come to me." And he calls Peter out. And of course, Peter gets scared and starts to sink, and Jesus pulls him up. They get back in the boat, and he says, "Why did you doubt? You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And then, you know, they end the story with truly you are the Son of God, and wind and the waves calm down, and so that story again. I'm skipping over a whole bunch. The story is amazing. Read it, know it, memorize it. It's a great story, and we're going to talk some more about that. One thing that's interesting. One thing that's interesting is that. That version I kind of just burned through is in Matthew 14. But in the Mark version of that story, it talks about Jesus, that he was actually about to pass them by. It says he was walking on the water and he's about to pass them by. And I was reading that and I was thinking about, oftentimes whenever I'm going to tell a story or use a story in Scripture, I want to read it every place that it's told in the Scriptures, just so you don't miss anything. But anyways, I thought about that, and this thought came in. I ever wonder if we miss miraculous opportunities because we're busy doing something. And they saw him, and they called out to him, and it changed, and we get the story that actually happened. But I wonder how many miraculous opportunities we get to interact with God just because we don't have our eyes on the horizon. We get maybe so busy with tending and doing what we feel like we're supposed to do within a storm, and really a lot of talking about what the announcements were about this morning of like taking time, and specifically, like, we're all busy. We fill our days. We know how to do that, so we do that. And I just wonder, if we don't stop and look at the horizon, how many times do we miss Jesus out there passing by? And so anyway, I'm not preaching on that, but I just as a thought. Okay, Matthew 8, that's a free one. Matthew 8 is another storm. Flipping. Fear makes us do crazy things. There's two kind of commonalities we see in these stories. Jesus says the same thing twice, in a little bit different words, but the same thing twice. He brings up little faith, and he also says, don't be afraid, or why are you afraid? He addresses fear, and he addresses faith. Because fear makes us do crazy things. It makes us lose track of all kinds of things. And you guys remember the movie Tommy Boy? Okay. If you haven't seen it, I don't recommend movies. Period. But there's this movie called Tommy Boy, and there's the first. It's the first credit. All you have to do is watch the credits to get the part that I'm going to tell you, and you can turn it off, so it doesn't scar your soul or whatever. Yeah, it's funny, we come to church and pretend like, no, I only watch Mr. Rogers, and like, I watch R-rated movies, but I don't want to tell anybody about it. Okay. Anyway, in the beginning of Tommy Boy, he wakes up late. He's like this kid, and he wakes up late, and he's like trying to get to the bus, I think. And he runs into things, and he's falling over himself and all stuff, and ends up missing the bus. And then it jumps to he's in college, and he's late for a test, and so he's running to school, and he's freaked out, and all these things are happening. He gets to the school, and he gets to the library or whatever the building is, and he's like yanking on the door and screaming, "God, no, please, no!" Because he thinks he missed the test. And then as he's panicking and freaking out and yanking and pounding on the door, another guy kind of walks up and looks at him weird and opens the other door and walks right in. And then he kind of looks around and goes in. And the point being is that fear, when we get all panicky in fear, it, like, our brain just, like, we just lose it. We just, and all he had to do is step over a little bit, and everything was fine. Like, everything that he thought was going wrong wasn't. But because of fear, he was fully sucked into it. Okay? So you never thought I could use Tommy Boy in a message, and I just did. So faith and fear. I want to talk about faith and fear because I think that how we carry and understand those two things within us are so important to how we walk through storms and being successful and walking through storms like Christ instead of like the disciples. But I'll tell you this, which is interesting. We're more talking about the quality of the experience than whether or not the storm will end. Because Jesus, if you're near Him, will always walk you through it. Even when the disciples, and He says, "You have little faith, why are you afraid?" He still calms the storm. Now, there's a lot of things that are dependent on the way we position ourselves, what we believe, our core values. There's a lot of things that depend on that. But His goodness and provision and love for us isn't one of them. He actually will love you and take you through the storm, even when you're panicking. But storms are a lot more fun when you're confident and full of faith, and you can handle them. Does that make sense? So this isn't like, if you're afraid, your storm's never going to end and you'll probably die. No, actually, Jesus is coming and there to calm the storm and to take you through it, even when you're panicky. Because His goodness and love for you is not contingent on your understanding it. Isn't that good? Okay, so that's in all this. Hebrews 11 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we can't see. That's translated a whole bunch of different ways, but basically, the gist of that is that faith is confidence in what we hope for. Faith is a grabbing a hold of and a confidence in what we hope for. Now, fear is a confidence in what we hope doesn't happen and what we hope against. I'll say that again. Fear is the same confidence connected to a different place. See, faith is a confidence in what we hope for. Fear is a confidence in what we hope against. It's this confidence that the worst things I can imagine are going to happen. Right? What do the disciples do? They run down there, wake up Jesus. We're going to die. I picture Jesus rolling his eyes. Oh my gosh. To deal with you guys all the time. You You guys are supposed to change the world. Come on. Get with it. All right. Yeah. The difference between faith and fear is really just where you put your confidence. Now, Bill Johnson said something awesome years ago. I remember going, oh man, that's awesome. So here it is. You only have the authority of the storm you can sleep in. You only have the authority over the storm you can sleep in. Now, what does that mean? Where does it come from? Authority comes from faith. And like we just talked about, faith is the confidence of what you hope for. Sleeping in a storm is the idea that you're so confident in what you hope for that you're able to have peace. That you're able to walk through it in peace. One of the things that probably, if I've ever laid hands and prayed on you, one of the first things I pray for is peace. Because peace, the presence of peace, is the first thing that connects you with faith. It's the first thing that begins to stir up confidence in what you hope for. It's this first thing. And a lot of times, just like, it's the panicky, it's the fear, I don't know what's going to happen, it's doubt, it's all those things that take that peace away, and the confidence just begins to fade and go away. Which confidence? It's faith is confidence in what we hope for. So the idea of being able to sleep through a storm, the authority that comes from the ability to sleep in the storm, and the ability to carry peace, and how it's connected to faith. Because your external victories, what's going to happen out here, how you walk through the storm, is directly connected to your internal victories. The easiest place I know to see this, I know I've talked about this before, the easiest place that you can see this really easily is is in sports, especially like kids' sports. So I've driven my kids to games when they talk about we're going to get destroyed. Oh, we're going to get destroyed. These guys are so good. You haven't even played them yet. Oh, yeah, but they beat this team and that team. They got all these reasons, right? They're already defeated. Like their external victory they're already defeated inside. Now, I understand there's a skill level in sports and all that stuff where sometimes they're right. Like this team is just seeded way higher. They're just a better team. And yeah, they probably are going to win. But sometimes when the game starts or even in the warm-up, you're like, actually, they're pretty well matched. Or even they're like, these guys aren't even as good as this team. But I've seen it over and over and over. They still lose. Because defeat is already in here. They're convinced. Their internal defeat is already their reality. And all it does is manifest. All it does is just happen. Well, it works the same way with victory. This idea that, like, we're going to win. That's why the halftime locker room pep talk is so important. Because if you can convince them that the second half, you can turn this around. You can change this. What are you doing? You're stirring up the internal victory. What is it? It's confidence. It's faith in what we hope for. Connect with the faith that what you hope for. And all of a sudden you begin to believe in this internally in victory. And what happens? It manifests. Now, not all the time. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we still walk through storms. It's not like, well, if I can believe hard enough or have enough faith that the storm will go away, I'll open my eyes and it'll be gone. No, it's not true. But there is things that you hope for that you can grab a hold of that will walk with you all the way through the storm. Now, for the disciples, it was not their plan to die on that boat in at sea. They should have known that because Jesus had talked about it. So what they did was they threw out what they hoped for. Right, their hope, this thing that Jesus was building, even though they didn't understand it yet, this thing that Jesus was building with them, they'd been talking about it. They'd seen it. They knew it was coming. They didn't know all of it, but they knew. And so they threw all that out in the face of fear and accepted defeat, and that is what they brought to Jesus. I want to tell you that you actually can come to Jesus. You can call out to Jesus in faith or in fear. And you get two different outcomes. You have two different interactions. Are you still with me? You guys okay? I'm trying to go fast. Okay. So how do we have internal victory? I think that the majority of how we react or encounter storms in our lives are actually we predetermine before we ever even get there. Like I was saying about the internal victories and what's going on inside of us, what we believe about what we're hoping in, all of those things. And I want to talk about three places. And again, I'm going to go kind of quick. But I want to talk about three places. Whoop. Come back. Sorry. Three places that we react from. It'll make sense when I explain it. But there's three places that I understand that we react from. And all those places, if we don't first of all acknowledge that they're real, but secondly understand what's going on in those three places, then it's that much more difficult to have confidence in what you hope for, faith in all those three areas. Does that make sense? So that's why we're going into this. The first two are what you think, what we think and how we feel, or how we think and how we feel. What we would call the brain and the heart, even though that's not really how it works. Our intellect and our emotion. Now, I don't want you to be sensitive about me talking about emotion. But, our intellect and our emotion. Our intellectual self processes facts, analyzes outcomes, possibilities, calculates risks, help us solve problems. And we see overly intellectual people oftentimes are perceived as insensitive and harsh, maybe even cold. Our intellectual self is the part of it that figures things out. It's the part that thinks things through. It's the part that makes these kind of calculated, maybe what we'd call educated decisions that are best for this or that or whatever. So that's the intellectual part of ourself. Our emotional self, obviously, I mean, the intellectual self and the emotional self, we could spend days, conferences on, okay? So this is like a little bit. But our emotional self is basically where we process our feelings. I've talked about this before. There's basically four main feelings. Joy, anger, sadness, and fear. It's where we experience our emotion. It's where our emotions come alive, and oftentimes overly emotional people can be perceived as dramatic or irrational or impulsive. And the important thing is that, number one, we all have an intellectual and an emotional self. We all have it. And one is not more important than the other. They're actually both very important. And the important thing is balance. Now, when we're talking about this, and hopefully it ties in for you, because these things are really important. Some, if you don't understand that you have two ways, two things happening in you, and most people that are self-aware can kind of know where they're at. They can feel an emotional, a more emotional decision. They can feel a more intellectual decision. But really, any decision should be made with both. Like, really, we're meant to be one person, not fractured and not extreme on either way. Are you guys with me? So most of you, if we just ask you a couple questions, you would probably go, oh, yeah, I tend to be more intellectual. And these are the problems in my life because I tend to be more intellectual. There's lists of them. We go through, you know, connection and all these things. And then I tend to be more emotional. And so I tend to get myself in trouble sometimes with quick decisions, passionate decisions that don't work well for everybody all the time. And so both extreme on both sides are scary. People that are extreme on both sides are scary. And the idea is that we have balance with intellect and emotion. Are you guys with me? Are you okay? It's important to have that balance for a happy and healthy life. And again, I'm not going to talk too much more about that because I'm going to go. But so the third thing. So those are the first two things. The first thing when you interact with anything, but specifically talking about storms, challenges in your life, those two things are going to fire. Now, whatever has more for your specific personality, whatever has more is going to take a little bit more influence. But both of those things are going to be going on. We're going to have an intellectual thought process. We're going to have an emotional thought process, and they're going to be happening, we need to be aware of them. Okay, so that's the first two. The third one is what I call identity. Who you believe yourself to be. It's your core values. It's your character. It's your conviction. It's why people will choose. I'm not talking about an emotional necessarily decision. There's emotion involved, but it's why people will choose to put themselves in harm's way, even potential death, to save somebody or to. But like the intellectual part that can analyze risk management and go, this is potentially really dangerous. I could die. And then the other part, the fear, right? Fear is an emotion. And so the fear part that says, this, I could die. Intellectually and emotionally aware of the situation, and yet still, your identity tells you you're going in. We're going in because this is what we do. Right? My kids are... whatever. And the house is on fire. My kids are in there. You can look at that fire and go, I could die. And yet you go, but the father that I am, the person that I am, this is who I am, and so I can, right? So there's this other place, this powerful place that you make decisions out of, and it's your identity. It's your core values. Not this extreme situation, but it's in all of these things. Just coming to church is maybe an easier example. Most of us, sometimes, we wake up, we're getting out of bed, and we're like, I'm stoked to go to church today. Maybe Fenton does that, I think. But most of us are like, oh, it's church. Oh, I'm pretty excited. You know, maybe. Talk me into it. You know, we're just being real. Like we have, so there's this battle that goes on, right? We have the way we feel. We have the way, and then we think through, we process through the way, like, no, it's a good, I need to go. And think about who you can see. Try to talk, you know, yeah. Maybe you guys don't do this. You're just all like every morning fired up to be at church. Like, I want to come to church. It's got to be amazing. This morning, most of you probably were like that. That's why it ended up like this. And we have expectation that God just shows up. But anyway, but then there's this thing that happens. Hopefully this thing that happens, I know it happens to me, where I realize this is who I am. Whether I can make a good intellectual explanation or whether I have a good emotional, like I feel happy about going to church, there's actually a decision apart from those two things that goes, no, this is who I am. I actually want to be a man that goes to church. I want to be a man that brings his kids to church. I want to be a man that is part of a church congregation. And of course, I know it's different. I get paid to be here, but just being real. So the whole thing is, it's the same, right? Like we have this process, and as things as little as that to as big as a storm that's raging in your life, a thing that is, which I mean, they're happening all around us. These things that now, you know, it's a storm because it's completely out of your control. That's how you know. Like, it's not necessarily a consequence of behavior. It's just a storm. It's like, I'm just walking along and the clouds rolled in. The rain started falling. Like, oh, I'm in a storm. And what I want to encourage you, and I'll end with this. What's the point? Faith, right, which is confidence in what we hope for, needs to be alive in those three places. faith, which is confidence in what we hope for, needs to be present and alive in those three places. It needs to be alive in your emotional life, like the way you feel, which is probably the hardest one to find it, because emotion is so... a lot of your emotion happens subconsciously. And the way you get faith into emotion, there's only one way that I know of, and that is to spend time with the Savior. To just spend time. To just spend time. It's why there's fruit, I believe, it's why there's fruit of the Spirit. Because joy in a season that's not... Remember I preached a while ago about oranges. Like in the kingdom, you can expect an orange tree to bear fruit in the snow. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's out of season fruit. Like if you're happy because you're at Disneyland with your family, that's not the joy of the Lord. That's the joy of Disney, which is real. Like, yeah, Disney, happiest place on earth. But when you're at a funeral of a loved one, and you feel the peace and the joy of the Lord, I don't mean that you're not crying. I mean there's this peace and rest. I remember my grandfather's funeral. I told the story a bunch of times, both my grandfather's funeral, but my grandfather's funeral, who just a week before I had led to the Lord, I remember the peace and the joy over my life, which was out of season because my grandpa just died. You understand what I'm saying? It's fruit out of season. How do you get that? It's time with the Holy Spirit. It's just time with the Holy Spirit, because then all of a sudden you walk into a storm, you walk into a situation, and all of a sudden there they are. There's fruit there. This fruit that exists there because you spent time there, and it's accessing your emotion. It's not something you can just. But see, then there's intellect, and the intellectual part of you. The other thing that we talked about is it's there too. This faith that you stir up, and I believe that we stir that faith up by educating ourselves, by knowing Scripture, by memorizing Scripture, by knowing. Not just God's heart, but also God's laws and God's commands and God's it puts these order things, and so when we just naturally think kingdom, not emotionally, like we have that too, what we just talked about, but we have this intellectual connection to the kingdom that can intellectually bring hope into any situation. Why? Because I read 15 stories that were a lot like the story I'm in right now, and God showed up every time. And so I actually have testimonies, and I have these stories and these scriptures going through my head, and all of a sudden, what? I feel taller, I feel stronger, because why? I have confidence in what I hope for. I have faith in my intellect, faith in my emotion. And then the third one is really a combination of the two, like knowing your identity, knowing who you are, which comes from both of those things, the fruit that comes from the facts, it comes from time with the Lord. It all comes from that, of course. But it's living in this knowing of your identity. Living in this is who I am, and this is what I do. A lot of what we talked about last week. The why. Knowing my why. Knowing why I'm here. Knowing why I do this. Knowing why. Like, that's this identity, this internal thing that we... Even when this and this doesn't make sense, we still know what to do because it's who we are. Are you guys okay? Dude, straight up. Yes. Okay. That's it, I'm done. Will you guys stand up? I want to pray for you. Straight up, 12 o'clock. I want to pray for you. I know that we all don't have the same. We all don't have the same needs. It's just the way that it is, and it's what makes the church amazing and wonderful, and what makes sermons messages so hard to prep, because I'm preaching to a whole bunch of different people who need a bunch of different things. But hopefully, I know that we have these three areas, and one of these areas needs a boost. One of these areas needs an increase in faith. Needs an increase in confidence in what you hope for. And only you and the Lord know what it is. And so what I want to do is, I'm going to end like this. I want you to just, unless you feel like, I'm good. I don't want to force you to pray for yourself. If you feel like, hey, I'm good, man. I'm dialed in. I'm overflowing with faith and joy and hope in all of these areas. I should have preached this message. If that's you, glory, awesome, wonderful. If that's not, and you are like me, put your hand on your heart. Now we can't substitute time spent. We can't do it. I can't pray into you 20 years of walking with the Lord. I can't pray into you. Now there's miraculous things that can happen about scripture and emotional things that can shift instantly. I'm not saying that's absolutely true. But there's no substitute for just time with the Lord. And so don't think that my expectation is that we pray for you and it's like, done. I'm glad I went to church today. But as much as this is a prayer for the miraculous, it's also a commitment to faithfulness. It's also this commitment to like, I'm going to get in that place where I'm spending time with the Lord, both in reading and memorizing and building intellectual understanding of God, and also where I'm spending time in this quiet place connecting my emotions with the Holy Spirit and who I am, and then also I'm building my identity. I'm listening to what the Lord says, believes, and speaks over me. My prophetic words, scriptures, I'm like all those things. This is a prayer for the miraculous, and this is a commitment to faithfully walking in relationship with the Lord. Do you guys understand that? So I want to pray for you. If you change your mind, you just take your hands off. Whoa, that's a lot. Okay. So Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that Jesus was our perfect example. He was the perfect manifestation of the kingdom. And Lord, we long to walk through storms as he did with faith, confidence in what we hope for. And Lord, I pray right now that the levels of confidence, the levels of understanding in our intellect, our emotion, our identity would just take a turn maybe they're already headed in the right direction and we just step it up. Lord, you just step it up. We just want to feel the increase. Feel the increase. And then, Lord, I just pray for the courage. For the courage and the strength. And the conviction. And the desire. Be faithful in our relationship with you. Like we sang this morning, light us on fire, let us burn for you. If for no other reason, people would come to this place just to watch us burn. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hmm.